So glad you decided to worship with us here at Crystal River Church of God Online, where we want you to find focus for living. You can also connect with us through Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and make sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel for video messages. Now, an inspiring message from our lead pastor, Ronnie Reed.
Tonight I want to talk to you about unstoppable problems happen. Problems happen. Go with me in your Bibles. We're going to go to two verses. We're going to go to our series text, which is Job chapter 42, verse number 2. And at that version, I'm reading from the God's Word. It says, I know that you can do everything and that your plans are unstoppable. I know that you can do everything and your plans are unstoppable. Good having Roy back with us after knee surgery. Amen. Hey, he decided to dress like me. Amen. Amen. Man, you are a sharp dressed man. Amen. Hallelujah. Now see, if that had been a woman, somebody would have had to go home and change. You women know that's the truth, ain't it? Oh my God, she's got on my dress. Well, my Lord, there's only so many dresses in the world. Amen. And if you live in a small town, you're bound to get the same clothes sometimes. Amen. So praise God. Then I want you to go to the book of James. Now let me just tell you, as you're turning to the book of James, there has been times in my life, now don't shut me down after I say this, just stay with me. There has been times in my life that I would love to rip the book of James out of the Bible. Anybody else with me? There's just, you know, you can be all holy if you want to, but there's some stuff in the Bible I just don't want to adhere to. Bless those that curse you. Who wants to do that? Yeah, laugh when they curse you. You know? Turn the other cheek. Psh, I got a cheek for you. Oh, that didn't even come out right, did it? No. Verse number 2 says this in James chapter 1. My brethren, I'm reading from the New King James Version. My brethren, count it at all joy when you fall into various trials. Are you kidding me? Count it at all joy when you fall into various types of trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. Now, I don't know if your Bible's like mine, but these verses here in James are underlined. And matter of fact, if my memory serves me correctly, let me move over here in my Bible to the book of James. If my memory serves me correctly, yeah, they are underlined with two different highlights. Because that means that's something I got to really remember. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all of his ways. Let the lowly brother glory in his exaltation, but the rich in his humiliation. Because as a flower of the field, he will pass away. For no sooner has the sun risen with a burning heat than it withers the grass, its flowers falls, and its beautiful appearance perishes. So the rich man also will fade away in his pursuits. Blessed is the man who endures temptation. The man, you need to underline that. Blessed is the man who endures temptation. For when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Hallelujah. Lord, bless the reading of your word. May your word, Lord, not only be a lamp unto our path, but God, let it be an anchor to our soul. In the name of Jesus, and the church said, amen. Amen. Now, I don't plan on holding you long tonight, but I just want to tell you that usually problems are like bananas. They come in bunches. Usually when somebody tells me, Pastor, I have a problem, I know they're lying right off the bat. Because usually there's no such thing as a problem. It's problems. And they multiply faster than rabbits. Because if you don't take care of it, it'll take care of you. James opens this letter by talking about problems and how we ought to handle them. And how, you know, which to me kind of is refutes the theory of those ministers who love to preach that if you come to know Jesus and if you have enough faith that you won't have bad breath in the morning. But Jesus was a real Jesus. He didn't do any false advertisement. He said you in this life you will have a lot of tribulation, but be of good cheer because I've overcome the world. The psalmist David said in Psalms 34:19, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but I shall deliver them out of them all. Now in verse 2, it tells us, I'm reading again, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. But in the Phillips translation, I like the way that it puts it. In the Phillips translation, it says, when all kinds of trials crowd into your life, don't resent them as intruders, but welcome them as friends. I like the way it reads. I didn't say I like the scripture. Welcome them as friends. James, I believe, is trying to get us to look at our life issues and life problems differently than you and I. Because when we go through a problem, the only thing that we want is out. We look for the fastest relief, and we don't care what it costs. We just want relief. But what we don't understand is if you don't know the process in which you got into the situation, then you're not going to know how to keep you from getting into that situation again. You know, they tell me that people who hit the lottery, within 18 months, 80% of the people are in the same condition that they were before they hit the lottery. Why? Because they don't know what to do with that money. They go stupid, right? I mean, they don't know what to do. People take advantage. They get rich. And you know, there's a family, and I hope you don't know them, but there's a family that hit the lottery in Bronson. And how do I know that? We have a pastor there, and we were riding by, and I don't know if you've ever been to Bronson, but there ain't much up there. And then we go by, and man, this place is like Fort Knox. It is fenced everywhere. They got all kind of cars and toys. I was like, who in the world? He goes, they hit the lottery. He said, but that's all they got now. And they're barely able to pay the taxes on the home. And it wasn't that nice of a home. But there was filled with toys. Why? Because they did not understand or learn through life of how to make it. Listen, church. We've got to recognize that God came to save us, but He did not come to give us a miracle every day of our lives. Now if you need it, yeah. But the problem is, and Pentecostals are the worst. Bump your neighbor, say he's talking about you. Because we get ourselves into a situation through ignorance and then want the Holy Spirit to come and clean it up just because we speak in some tongues. All right? But we've got to come to a realization that if we're going to be unstoppable, then we've got to recognize that problems are going to happen in life. And we've got to learn through the Word of God and the Spirit of God to grow from them instead of just go through them. I'm going to say that again. We need to grow from them instead of just going through them. You see, James is saying, welcome these problems as friends. And I say, are you kidding me? How in the world do you do that? James gives us five reasons for welcoming problems as friends, and I want to give them to you tonight. Number one is this. We can grow in Christ's character. We can grow in Christ-like character through problems. You don't know if you've got character until it's been tested. You don't know what you have until it's been tested. How many people do I know who come to serve Jesus and they're fine as long as everything goes smooth? But the first problem, the first time that they say, oh, God didn't answer my prayer. God didn't do this, blah, blah, blah. My kids are acting up, whatever. And the first time that happens, they fall out with God. Because they forgot that they thought that God was a sugar daddy. And they failed to realize that God is omnipotent God. He is sovereign. And he didn't save you just so he doesn't work for you. You're supposed to work for him. Amen. Especially if you got people who work for you in here, but how many knows that's an epidemic in today? That people think that you're the boss and you work for them. No, baby, it's the other way around. And we carry that into our Christian walk. Now, we grow in Christ-like character. He said, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience, but let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. So it says, trials in various kinds. All right? There's a Greek word that I'm not going to try to pronounce. You can put it up there for me, Craig. It's that. And it means, is a test that is directed towards an end. That when you go through a trial, it is a test that is directed towards an end. That means that God has an expected end of what he wants you to be like when you go through this. That when you, listen, when if you go through a test, God has already given you, he's already covered it. You've already heard a sermon. You've already read a scripture. You've already heard a song. How to get through the situation. How to bear up under the situation. He will never give you a test that he hasn't already covered with you. Good preaching, Pastor. The end is that who is tested should emerge stronger and purer from the testing. God tested Abraham, and testing is not to tear you down, but to build you up. It is not for your demise, it is for your development. Trials are not meant to weaken your faith, they're meant to strengthen your faith. But the problem is some of us don't have enough word in us to stand. All we have is a feeling. I didn't come for a feeling tonight. I thank God that I serve a God that I can feel. But I come by to tell you that you need to know the Word of God. Because the feeling won't always be there. That feeling, do you wake up speaking in tongues every day? No. If you do, then you're just probably crazy. And don't know that there's life out there. Amen. Trials are not meant to weaken us. The Christian is like an athlete. The more intense the training, the better we'll be prepared, and the more we'll be prepared for game day. And man, I'm gonna tell you what, we don't get a practice in life. So you better train. You don't get a do-over in life. So you better be ready for when the rubber begins to meet the road. You've got to be prepared because you don't get to take the test over again. This thing called life. Now, if you don't pass the test, you take it over again. But you don't get this thing called life. You don't get two. You don't, you know, we We don't believe that you live a life and you try real good. If you don't make it, well, you come back as a puppy dog. No. I'm going to tell you what, if that was the truth, I wouldn't mind coming back as a no-see-um and just terrorize some people. But that don't happen. But he says the testing of your faith, which comes a Greek word called, I believe it's called dokimos or something like that. This is a process of purifying metals to become valuable coins. So when you're going through trouble, when you're going through trials, there's a tested end, or there's an end in mind, but there's also the testing of your faith, the process of causing us to be purified. Because everybody in this room knows Christians that don't act very Christian. Well, Pastor, we're not the judge. You're right, we're not. But that's just reality. We still look, don't we? And we hate it when people say to us, and you call yourself a Christian. And I hate it when they do that. Because I want to say I call myself a human being also. And just because you're an idiot doesn't mean that me as a Christian, I got to take it. Stupid. But after heating the metal, removing the impurities, pouring the metal into molds, the coins were allowed to cool. And the uneven edges were shaved and smoothed down before they were put into circulation. My God, somebody hear me. Does it sound like anybody? See, God's trying to put us into circulation. And so he's using the trials and the test of our faith to take the rough edges off of us. Because if we're not careful, we're going to be cutting people we're trying to win. We're going to be cutting people we're trying to help. How many knows that he's still working on me to make me what I ought to be? These coins were pure and genuine and had great value. You want to be somebody that has great value. I want people to know that I'm a Christian, not because I have a Honk If You Love Jesus bumper sticker, but because of the way that I carry myself. I want to have an anointing in my life that when I walk in the room, they know something is different about me. Amen. The aim of testing is to purge out the impurities, burn out the dross of character, and leave us purify. Man, God wants you to be, well, I'm just doing everything I can. Well, let God do some things in you. See, the problem is we're trying to do, we got some do better. Well, I'm going to do better. No, get Christ. Let him do it. But you got to open yourself up. And again, Pentecostal, that doesn't mean you just come to the altar and go, all right, here I am, do whatever you got to do. Because you got a part to play in that. That you've got to apply the Word of God to your life. You've got to get the Word of God inside of you. And that knowledge transforms. The Bible says, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Now listen, it didn't say the truth sets you free. The truth makes you free. The truth that you know. So that's why you got to know what the Word of God says, so that you won't be in bondage, so that you can walk in the fullness of what God has called you to walk in, that you would be put into circulation by God so that you could be valuable in His kingdom. And when somebody needs something, they know who to go to because you're shining in the darkness. And it says then, it goes on, testing of our faith, and it produces endurance. And that Greek word is hupomone, which is the ability to abide under pressure. Now, boy, I like that word. You have the ability to abide under pressure. You have the ability. You know, I shared this, I think, Sunday or maybe last Wednesday, but I've never seen a generation that is more, and I don't have the vocabulary to express what I'm trying to say, so I'm just going to say it, and if you're offended, then be offended, because I'm a little tired and I don't feel like searching for that word. but a bunch of weak-kneed, panty-waisted people in my life that can't take nothing. Oh, I just can't take it. Oh, I just can't take it. I mean, come on. There's a phone call. Oh, I can't take that phone call. I'm worried about what they're going to say. I mean, for God's sake, I can't go to work because I'm just so anxious. I'm anxious too. That's why I go to work. I'm anxious. I ain't going to have enough money to pay my bills if I don't go to work. Now, come on, somebody. But we're at this place, you know, and not me, but older people say, well, they just don't make people like they used to. They just, you know, people like Gypsy, he'll say stuff like that. You know, older people. You know. No, I'm just kidding. He doesn't say that. But people will say, well, the problem is that's the problem with this generation. And it is a problem. But it's not just the youngest generation. I've seen it creeping out. I remember, you know, 25 years ago when I was talking to a 27-year-old who had three kids, and said to me, well, I'm just tired of work and I want my wife to go to work some. The spirit of slap come on me. And I said, you call yourself a man? Man up. You want to be a man, then man up. But listen, guys, we've got to come along. That this didn't come from Christ. This has come from the world. This has come from the world. The world's saying that we're entitled. The world's saying, oh, you can't handle it. No. Pressure's good. There would be no diamonds if it wasn't for pressure. My God, somebody hear me. You're the person you are today because of the pressure. Amen. I remember when all the pressure I had was to make sure I didn't get in trouble at school. Come on. Man, I wish I could go back to that pressure. Oh, my Lord, that pressure ain't nothing. Come on, somebody. But the pressure, the ability to abide under pressure. And the problem is we don't give our kids enough. We don't give our kids enough discipline. We don't give our kids enough responsibility. And so therefore they don't know anything about pressure. My youngest daughter is a middle school teacher now, and she was just telling me this afternoon about this kid in her class that has this, and she named it, this disability that they're not allowed to get onto him. Yeah, I got that disability too. I told my wife I had that disability. She says, shut that crap up. I mean, is that ridiculous? And so, and the kid knows he can't get ISS and referral and uses it to his benefit. See, what needs to happen is they need to hire me as the official booty spanking whatever. I'm your guy. Man, my arm be about that big from just wearing them out. Wow. Amen. Now, everybody's amening, but you got kids too. I'm reeling it back in. I'm going somewhere. My wife's like, reel it back in. I have that issue. You ain't supposed to do that to me. Now I have anxiety and I can't finish. My wife's put too much pressure on me. I'm just going to close the Bible. Let's go home now. But that's the reality, guys. We as parents, oh, now you pushing on me too, huh, Craig? You're like, go to the next one. No, I am not. I'm not. Throw a fit too, by God. Since nobody can get punished. But in order for people to be able to abide up under pressure, they need to learn how to handle a little pressure at a time. Little pressure, a lot of pressure. Little pressure, a lot of pressure. And if we don't give them responsibilities, and I'm not just talking about kids. I'm talking about adults that can't handle stuff. and we're on every, you know. And listen, I'm not against medication. If you need medication, take it. For God's sake, quit being crazy. Take your medication. But not everybody needs medication. Some people need just a little bit of Jesus. Come on, somebody. Some people just need the Word of God. Oh, I think I'm going crazy. No, baby, that's called pressure. It's called pressure. But if you'll stand up under the pressure, if you'll stand up under it, it produces endurance. If you stand up under this, then you'll be able to stand up under that. See, the problem is we want to propel people into positions that they're not ready for. Oh, my God, somebody hear me. Do you know why I didn't pastor a large church when I began pastoring? Because I didn't know how to. And I couldn't handle the pressure. I remember the first time, I'm trying to see if there ain't any elders back then that was here then, now. I remember Sister Brown was probably in that meeting. Remember that first time we went to buy 50 chairs? We were going to buy 50 chairs. We spent $25, was you in that meeting? $2,500, and I about had a coronary. Oh, my God. Y'all, I had a plan to buy like five a week. But they were like, well, we got the money. Let's just spend it. I was like, what? That's $2,500. What are you talking about spending? And now, good Lord, I couldn't have handled it back then. Are you listening to me? But that's how you grow is you learn how to stand here and then you go a little bit further. And then you learn how to stand here and then you go there. And you learn how to stand there and you go there. It's the same way in your marriage. It's the same way that if the problem is you're not dating your spouse anymore, you can't just break up like you once did and quit. No, you got to learn how to stand up under the pressure. But if you will learn, you will have a diamond marriage in your life. That's good preaching, whether you realize it or not. Now listen, the patient endurance is the crown Christ of Christ like character. Endurance enables us to rest under pressure rather than retreat. And then it says, and let endurance have its perfect or its full effect, its perfect work. To Lois, to be brought to its full end. That you let these things come. When they come, all right, I'm getting ready to learn something. Instead of, oh, I am me all the time. It's just always something. And you know what? I don't know about you, but I go through seasons like that. But my whole life is not that way. Why? Because I learned to make better decisions. See, sometimes you blame stuff on God and the devil, and he ain't got nothing to do with it. It's your own dumb decisions. Good preaching, Pastor. Testing prepares us for the work God has given us to do. We're then fully mature, complete, with no weak spots. Man, that's where I want to get. I want to get to the point where I have no weak spots. No weak spots with God. Point number two is this. We can learn the power of prayer. Some folks don't pray without any problems. Mm-hmm. The Bible says if anybody lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. Sometimes we go through trouble and we don't know how to get out of it. That's what causes us to pray. I mean, you know, listen, and I'll tell you straight up, I pray every day. Every day I pray. Now, they're in the 90s, late 80s, that was, when was Larry Lee real popular? In the 80s, wasn't he? Larry Lee wrote a book called Could You Not Tarry 1 Hour? And so, you know, everybody was on this book. Everybody was trying to pray an hour. And I'm just telling you right now, I failed miserably. I'd read the book. All right, I'm going in to pray. I'm going to pray an hour. So, man, I go in and start praying. I pray for everything, everybody I know. I use the script that he teaches you to pray. And I look down, it's been 6 minutes. I'm like, are you kidding me? And then I'm going to tell you who set me free, a man by the name of Paul Walker. Paul Walker, who was our general overseer at one time, he said these words that set me free. He said, I rarely pray more than 15 minutes. I'm like, really? Let's talk. I tried praying an hour one time. I fell asleep. I know I shouldn't tell that. I'm trying to help. I needed that help right there. All right, there we go. Thank you. All right. Say, I'm helping somebody right there. I'm just trying to be real. I went in and going to pray, and next thing, I woke myself up snoring. I went, God, I'm sorry. Anyway. But he said, I rarely pray more than 15 minutes. He said, but I rarely go 30 minutes without praying. I was like, yeah. That's what I'm talking about. Just pray all the time. Pray all day. All right? So we can learn how to the power of prayer. And I pray every day. But how many knows when I'm going through an issue, I pray. When I need an answer from God or when I need clarity from God, I pray. When I need God to give me an answer, I pray. When I got to make a decision, I really pray. And you know, and that will help some of you right there. Never do we need wisdom as when we're going through a trial. During trials, we're told to ask for wisdom. Wisdom will enable you to see the problems from God's perspective. And if you can see it from God's perspective, you'll see a couple of things. You'll see that the problem ain't as big as you thought it was. You'll see that God's bigger than the problem. And that you'll see it from God's perspective and you'll see a way out. You might not see it today, but you can know, I'm not going to die in this thing. This ain't the end of me. There is life after this situation and I'm going to come through it in the name of Jesus. I might not come through like I want to come through. I might not come through with all my hair. I might not come through with all of my senses, but I'm going to come through it because I'm with Jesus and Jesus is going to take me through. Amen. Number three is this, we can develop an unshakable faith, verses 6 through 8. But let him ask in faith with no wet doubting. For he who doubts is like the wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he would receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all of his ways. When we ask God, we're to do it without doubting in our heart. Well, Pastor, how do you do that? I'm still working on it. Sometimes I win and sometimes I don't. And when I doubt, I ask God, Lord, help my unbelief. Lord, help me. Help me not to doubt God. Because how many knows that you see, but it goes back to the first part. Because if you can see it through the eyes of God, then you're not looking through the eyes of flesh. And what you see in the flesh is not affecting what is going on in your heart because you see it, but you disregard what you see because you've heard from the Lord because you've been in prayer about it. Good preaching, Pastor. All right, so he who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is tossed back and forth by the wind. He's called a double-minded man. He's unstable in all of his ways. Trials give us an opportunity to build a life of unshakable faith. So if you never went through trials, you'd never have to use your faith. And if you never use your faith, then you're not exercising your faith. And if you're not exercising your faith, atrophy sets in. And your faith just begins to deteriorate. So you want to use your faith. And the only way you use your faith is through situations and circumstances. Number four is this. We can experience life's true riches. Let the lowly brother glory in his exaltation, but the rich in his humiliation. Because of a flower of the field, he will pass away. Let me tell you, I don't care how rich you are, how poor you are, everybody's going to die one day unless the Lord comes back. Everybody's going to wither. We tend to know the price of everything, but the value of nothing. I'm going to say that again. We tend to know the price of everything, but the value of nothing. The things that we ought to value, we don't value. But we know the price of everything. When trials come our way, we soon realize what is truly important and of greatest value. You ever went through something and you thought, man, the things I used to think was important are not that important? You know, when you're going through a trial, you know, when you're going through marital trouble, you really don't give a rip who likes your Instagram. When you're going through a trial and testing your marriage, you really could care less about how many likes you got on Facebook. Stuff that you thought was important ain't very important. Number five is this. We can receive the crown of life. We can receive the crown of life. Verses 12. Blessed is the man who endures temptation. Blessed is the man who endures. There's that word again, hupomone, endure. Blessed is the man who endures. Blessed is the man who stands up under the pressure. If you don't learn how to stand up under the pressure, then you're going to crumble at every turn. Because life happens. problems happen. And if you don't learn how to, in your marriage, if you don't know how to communicate, if you don't learn how to do conflict resolution, if you don't learn some of these skills, listen, that's why they call them life skills, because they can be learned. You know, the thing that aggravates one of the most is when people who see my children, and I have good children, I bind the devil in the name of Jesus, and they say things like this to me: "Well, you got lucky." Ooh, child. Man, I worked hard to be lucky. You know, it's like the old farmer when the pastor went by and looked at the farm that the farmer had, he took this farm, and it was a beautiful farm. And the pastor come by and said, "Man, Mr. Farmer, man, God has done a beautiful work here at this farm." And the farmer said, "Yeah, it is. God has done a great work, but man, you should have saw it when God had it by itself." What am I saying? I'm just saying that the harder you and I work, the more blessed we become. And the more luckier, if you want to use that word, I don't want to use it, but if you want to, the luckier we become. I mean, I remember being at my family's house and their kids acting like heathens. And I would be correcting mine, and they're looking at me like, "Well, they're doing it." They ain't mine. And it would have been so much easier for me and Sherry for us just to go ahead and do it. Plus, it ain't our house. Tear it down. Amen. It's work. I'm telling you, church, we can receive the crown of life. We have to endure the temptation. But when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. The crown speaks of authority. The crown speaks of victory. Kings wore crowns as a symbol of their authority. Hallelujah. Athletes wore laurel leaves as crowns after winning at the Greek games. God is saying you will win if you don't buckle under the pressure. You are unstoppable, but you can't buckle under the pressure. So instead of seeing how fast you can get out from under it, why don't you begin to ask the Lord, "Lord, what do I need to learn through this? What do I need to glean?" And let me tell you something. If you ever get to the point where you feel like you don't need to know anything else, that you know it all, let me give you this. I've been using this phrase for many years. Because when I started pastoring, I was 24. And people would come up to me and, "Oh, you still wet behind the ears." And they was like, "Well, I ain't that sanctified. I'll beat you upside your head." They'd say, "Oh, you're so green." And then I come up with this phrase that as long as you're green, you're growing. But when you get ripe is when you start to rot. You know that? I mean, anybody, any of the farmers in here, once the fruit is ripe, at the moment it's ripe, then it begins to start to rot. I love that commercial when the guy's there to pick the peach or the orange, and he goes, "Nope, not yet, not yet. Pick that peach or orange." And they pick it right there at the time. Because when you get ripe, when you think you have arrived, is when you're in trouble. That's when you start to rot. So, man, stay green. God, keep teaching me. Keep teaching me every situation. Every trial I go through, I ask the Lord, "Lord, what, you know, I'm not legalistic about it, but I almost everything I go through, I'll ask the Lord, "Lord, what should I have learned there? What did I learn there? What do you want me to learn here?" You know, I shared this with somebody else the other day, that I don't want people just to get saved and go to heaven. I want people to get saved and become a better person on this earth. Amen. So, you know, if you've heard me say this, if you were a jerk before you got saved and all you did was get saved, you're just a saved jerk. But when you start putting this inside you, you know, and I know that he might get tired of me picking on him and using him. But man, I look at Gypsy. How many years you been coming here now? 3 years. What a transformation in 3 years. I mean, man, God has done such a work in Gypsy. He was an all right guy before. But my Lord, what the growth that I see in Gypsy in the last 3 years. Why is it? He's got into this word. Why is it? He got involved in the body. He got involved with people. It works, man. You cannot grow. Now I'm trying to quit. I told you I was going to let you out early. I got 7 minutes, Alan. You cannot grow on feelings. Oh, yes, hallelujah. No, all that's great. But if I've got to choose whether you shout or you're quiet and grow, I would rather you be quiet and grow. What I would prefer is that you shout because you know why you shout. I would prefer you be excited because you have a reason to be excited. I would prefer to you say, because you know that you've been set free and the power of hell has no dominion over your life. That's what I would rather. But if I got to choose one, I'd rather you grow. Grow spiritually and not just get so... I've never met anybody that's so heavenly minded they're no earthly good. But I don't want you to... I'm not talking about being so, you know, so spiritual. Oh, Jesus. Lord, do you want me to go to the grocery store today? Lord, do you want me to pray? You done prayed. Shut up. Stand to your feet. Counted it all joy when you come into all kinds of various trials. How many believe that you're going through so many trials and temptations that you must be going through a growth spurt? Amen. Look around. Come on, just lift them hands up for a minute. There's a lot of folks. There's a lot of folks. Hallelujah, Jesus. Can I tell you that you are going through a growth spurt? Man, God's trying to take you somewhere. In order for you to get there, it ain't going to be a smooth road. Man, you got to cut some trees down. Because it's been a long time since anybody been where you going. Come on, somebody. You gotta make some roads, some inward roads to where God's taking you. Now, Spirit Life team, I want you to come. A lot of hands went up, but if you want prayer, then I want you to be able to have somebody to come up and pray with. Or maybe grab somebody there. We don't do a lot of this, but... Well, Pastor, why don't we? There's a whole thing I won't go into right now. But if there's somebody close to you that you just need prayer or you want to pray, and they want to pray for you, don't make somebody pray that don't want to pray for you. You know, like, pray for me. I don't want to pray for you. But if you need prayer or you want prayer, you're going through some troubles and trials of your faith, and you want to grow through them, then come on, let's just step out right now. Let's step out, come down here, or either grab somebody. Whatever you need to do. Come on, sing it with us. If you need prayer, come on now.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you are blessed by listening to this message and invite you to join us at our Crystal River campus. We meet for service on Sundays at 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. Our midweek service and youth service is on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. We're located at 2180 Northwest 12th Avenue in Crystal River, Florida.